are too young to remember 64.
Thank you.
This is such a good thing to do.
Thank you. Okay, so this will be two, that was not so, okay. So what was I saying? Can you remind me?
Action calms us down.
Oh, action calms us down. Says, once we're starting to act, it just calms us down because we're in the mode of action. We are most nervous and most overwhelmed beforehand. It's beforehand, the anticipation, the anxiety, et cetera, while we're actually doing it, that in and of itself is calming, which means that the action of counting, even though the speech is, we kind of think of speech as a quasi-thought, quasi-action, it really is an action. The act of speaking and counting out loud to ourselves is also an action, and it calms us down because we can't do that at the same time. Do you ever notice if you're talking to a friend or something while you're cooking and you're measuring, you'll say, hold on a second, I'm measuring the whatever. You can't keep track of how many cups of flour you've got and whatever while you're talking. You can mix, you can stir and all that. You cannot count and do these other things. It's like, it's brilliant.
So you have to say these numbers backwards out loud.
It's helpful out loud. You can kind of do it under your breath. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But you have to it's like davening. You have to articulate it to yourself. You can't think it. You cannot think it. It has to be verbalized. Otherwise, it's a counting thought, which will probably still do something because that's still hard to do anyway. So it doesn't work to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just for the record. Because if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's an option there?
Six.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's not going to do anything. It's the counting backwards and ending up with new. So we talked about that word earlier.
So this helps with anxiety.
It helps with anxiety and it's
sleep issues.
And sleep, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All of that is anxiety. And all of these things are feelings and thoughts that get in our way. So now we're going to take a look at some other Jewish sources for this deep appreciation for how elapsed time between a good thought and action, how it can derail us. And then we're going to show a beautiful thing that I have to say I discovered. I'm so grateful to Hashem. I discovered a really interesting connection between the 5-second rule and Torah. And I was really excited. So let's do that because we have a lot to cover.
I had a difficult day yesterday because I had a hard time concentrating.
Uh-huh.
Really hard and on a lot of issues and going back 20 years, 30, what's that, 50? And so would this might have helped me.
It might have, and it could have been just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sing. Just do something. You have to do something. So it can't be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, relax. That's not going to do it. It has to be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, an action. Stand up, wash your face, pick up the phone, press send, raise your hand at the meeting. It has to be, what is the next action? So it may not be as helpful, but we could probably talk about that offline of some other strategies. Let's take a look at, text 4 from Mesilat Yesharim, which is a path of the just. So this is talking primarily about mitzvot, but it really is talking about anything that is we are supposed to be doing. And what it is we're supposed to be doing are the things that we do to self-actualize. So this could be in the realm of our profession. It can be if you're a sales, you know, if you have a call to make to a potential client or to a potential job lead. It could be that that is your mitzvah at the time, is to make that phone call, to raise your hand, to do something. Just for as an aside, they talk about that, like if you have a call to make that you're nervous about making, it says even if they can't see you, stand up when you make the phone call. Don't sit down when you make the phone call. But the act of standing up and standing up straight is empowering and will change your voice and will change your call. Instead of saying, hi, this is Ellen Hutt. I want to know if I could make an appointment for the interview. It's like, you're not going anywhere. It says, stand up and do it. That is empowering because the act, we are created by our actions. We are not, thoughts are involved too, but we can think a good game and we can feel a good game. Until we act, we're not really doing anything. Okay, so Mesilat Yesharim, again, it's in the realm of mitzvah specifically, but it's really talking about any life task that we have in front of us that we should be doing. So,
excuse me, can I ask a question? Where are these mitzvahs, and you've referenced them, Are they in Torah, or are they in Oral Torah, or are they...
You're talking about the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law?
Or Minhag?
It's not Minhag for sure. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, is derived from the Torah. Text 10, that's from the Torah.
Okay, I mean, 4?
Text 4, Mesilat Yesharim is Path of the Just. It was written by Moshe Chaim Luzzatto in the 1700s. But it is drawn from Torah because it's drawn from the Shulchan Aruch, it's drawn from Pirkei Avot, and we also have our examples. Who do we have? Our most famous first example is Avraham. Vayashkem baboker. He got up early in the morning for the Akedah. Rivka. She hurried back and forth to the well to feed the camels for Eliezer. We have numerous examples of people who act with alacrity. And what that means, it doesn't mean they were running. It meant that they did not have time between the thought when the opportunity presented itself and when they took action. They did not think about it. Okay, now this isn't talking about being reckless. You know, just going headlong, I'm going to jump off a cliff. It means don't think about the things you have to do. Do them. Just do them. And the just is, and if you can't get yourself, while you're having this hesitation, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, who knows, maybe Rivka said that under her breath while she was going to get the camels. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get the water. You know, just do it.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
Avraham is going out to greet the strangers.
The strangers, exactly. He just went. He did not think about it. It says we overthink things. We get into what's called analysis paralysis. We're just sitting so busy thinking about things until we talk ourselves right out of it. Our kids have a book, a kid's book, but it's very good, about a boy whose friend, it's illustrated, it's really cute, cartoony thing. His friend, he finds out that his friend got whatever poison ivy, and he was at home sick, and he was going to go and visit him. And he thought about it. But what if I go, and, you know, he's not, you know, I'll open the door and there'll be a breeze and then he'll get a cold and then blah, blah, blah. And he talks himself into this whole scenario. I better not go. I'll go tomorrow. And each day he has another excuse. If I go, his mother will offer me cookies and I won't be able to say no. And I'll have one cookie and two cookies, three cookies. And I'll be so rude that it's better if I don't go. So it's like all these kid things. It's all made up. But it was addressing this issue of we talk ourselves out of what we're supposed to be doing. So let's take a look at Mesilat Yesharim, and then we'll take another look at, it's also from Shlomo, from Proverbs. It's also from, so it does come from Tanakh. So we'll see a reference there too.
Which number?
We'll get to that, but right now we're going to look at number 4. Rather, when the time of his performance comes, meaning whatever it is, or when it happens to present itself to him, or when the thought of performing it enters his mind, he should hurry and hasten to seize hold of it and perform it, and not allow time to go by in between. For there is no danger like its danger, since behold, each new second that arises can bring with it a new impediment to do to the good deed. Susan.
What about planning time?
Okay, that's different. So there may be...
You make a decision to do something, but then you need time to...
Sometimes.
To do it properly.
Sometimes, and sometimes even that's overthought. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, until I can plan, that's how I get behind in gift giving. Because I want to plan to give the exact right thing, so then P.S. I miss the whole thing altogether. Because I so much want to have it be perfect, and so much I want this to be perfect, and so much it has to be the perfect menu, and the perfect this, the perfect that, you end up doing nothing. So even planning can be a trap. I mean, obviously, some things take plans, but then the step is, okay, then what's the first step in the plan? First step is make the phone call, get the map, find out the resources. So there's still going to be an action, even with the plan. Call somebody to find out the best, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, what's the action? There is something. Other like, oh, I'm just going to think about this some more. And sometimes that can be an action, too. Sometimes I need to think about this at this certain time with this certain result. That's why you see on all planning notebooks, you buy anything, it says action items. You go to a meeting and it's results with nobody having any action or any assignments. That was just a waste of a meeting, unless you just feel like getting together to schmooze. It's like it's not happening. So mostly we're talking about these things where our emotions are involved, where we get the thing is like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Or we say the famous tomorrow. So hold on to that tomorrow.
Mañana.
Yeah, mañana. I'm going to do it. Not next year. Oh, no, no, no. That would be really abdication of responsibility. But not now. So the closest we can say that makes us feel like we're really going to do it is tomorrow or later. Okay? Tomorrow and later are our face-saving ways to excuse ourselves. Okay, so this second, these moments of the Silat Yesharim is recognizing every moment that goes by, this is going to be a problem. So perfect. So then let's take a look at text number 6. This is also, these are a lot from Mesilat Yesharim. And it's talking about this, what happens when we act quickly. So go the middle where it says, namely, when one feels himself performing a mitzvah with great swiftness, this will move his inner being to kindle a flame also, and the desire and want will increasingly intensify within him. Okay, so this is the idea that the action creates the enthusiasm, the action creates the confidence, and it's not the other way. We think, if I wait till I feel enthusiastic, then I'll do it. I'm not feeling it. People say, I'm not feeling it yet. It's like, well, don't wait for that. I'm not feeling it yet. And when we act in a sluggish manner, in the movement of our limbs, so too the movement of his spirit will die down and extinguish. It says, so sluggish movements create a sluggish spirit and the whole thing will just die down. Susan.
So you had said action calms us down, but you also said action causes enthusiasm.
Very good. Okay, so action, if we are overwrought, it calms us down. But if we are, if we're sluggish, it will motivate us. Which is why you think about, like, when they have in any of the armed services, when they do the drills, they have the people marching quickly and doing this and do that and do that. It's like, in battle, nobody's going like that, but you better be ready to move. They don't like, okay, let's just like saunter over there and yeah, but yeah, from here to there. It's like, you make yourself sluggish. And quick actions and doing something like that moves us along. We need to move. So again, this is going to be more about the elapsed time between the thought and the action in addition to the actions themselves. It's like, don't be a schlepper. Okay, but now let's go to, I want to take a look at, this is Mesilat Yesharim, and this has to do with how we get ourselves into fear, unnecessary fears. So, number 9, Mesilat Yesharim. And this comes from Shlomo HaMelech, from Proverbs. King Solomon said, 7 things regarding the lazy man. To illustrate, so this is a conversation. They said to the lazy man, your teacher's in the city, go and learn Torah from him. And what does he say? I'm afraid of the lion on the road. Now, what does this mean? Now, maybe there really were lions and all the lions got left out of the zoo or there was an attack, maybe so. But this would be like saying, oh, the traffic. I think there's going to be too much traffic. Mm-hmm. Or when we only had one mikvah in Denver and it was on the west side and people would be like, oh, I can't go there. It's on the west side. And I'm like, have you ever been to a Broncos game? It's also on the west side. Oh, well, that's different. Okay, well, it's a few blocks after the stadium. It's like, oh, there's too much traffic. There's too much whatever. That's too much. Then he says, then they tell him, your teacher is in the neighborhood. You don't even have to go. And he replies, I'm afraid he may be between the paths. I think the lion's going to be like, in the neighborhood walking on the streets, which just means I think it's like too hot out. It's too cold. It's too sunny. It's too rainy. It's too early. It's too late. It's too, or it's not enough. And they say, no, he's in your building. And he replies, oh, if I go to him, I think the door is going to be locked. So see there, we learn from here that it is not the fear that causes him to be lazy, but rather the opposite, the laziness causes the fear. All these things that we conjure up are coming from laziness. These are not real fears. Now, if it's an ice storm outside and it's really slick, you're not supposed to go out unless you happen to have a car that's like that. So we're not talking about being foolhardy. We're just saying, what are all these excuses and how, oh, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. The door is going to be locked. Well, how ridiculous is that? But to the person who's feeling it, they've let themselves get carried away. Okay, so now here's going to be our trick that I think is so interesting. This Yetzer Hara, this evil inclination, which is what we call it, has an embodiment in an actual people, a being, which is Amalek. Amalek, which is the tribe that came to attack the Jewish people when we left Egypt, says that they came upon us, and the Hebrew word is karcha, that they came upon us. Karcha baderach, they came upon us. And if you look now, go back to your front page, And you'll see from Devarim, Deuteronomy, text number 2, remember what Amalek did to you on your journey after you left Egypt, of how undeterred by fear of God he happened upon you on the march when you were faint and exhausted and cut down all the stragglers in your rear. Just by the way, those stragglers, we're not going to talk about that, were not the sick and the elderly, whatever. That's never how the Jews traveled, like letting the sick and the elderly be at the back. Those were the spiritual stragglers, the people that were there. It says, Amalek come, and the Hebrew word is asher karcha baderach, which you can see highlighted in the Hebrew, from the word kar, which means to chill. It says, Amalek is the chilling force to chill you out, to dampen your enthusiasm. It says, the yetzer hara of dampening enthusiasm is Amalek. Okay, so Amalek is, that is this battle, and how long are we going to have this battle? It says we're going to have this battle throughout the ages. You look at, so what we just read here is what we read on Parshat, on Shabbat Zachor, the Shabbos before Purim. We read this paragraph right here that we just said on the Shabbos before Purim. We have another reading about, that's the one that's in Devarim, the recount when Moshe, before Moshe passes away, is remember what Amalek did to you. But then we have the actual event when Amalek came and attacked the Jewish people. And at the end of the description, go to text 1. The first text there. He said, for the hand, Amalek, is upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war with Amalek, Lidor, but Midor, Dor, throughout the ages, from generation to generation. Our battle with the Yetzer Hara, who's the embodiment is in Amalek, is that force that exists out there to try to deter us from reaching our goal. Anytime we're getting close to where we're supposed to be, Amalek shows up. It says, that's why Amalek shows up after we leave Egypt. Because when we were leaving Egypt, we were on our way to Mount Sinai. So who wants to stop us getting the Torah? Amalek. And before anything good is happening for the Jewish people, there's going to be this counterforce that's going to try to stop us. It tries to stop us on a national level, and it tries to stop each individual Jewish person from reaching our potential also. So there's going to be this Amalek force that's going to chill us, and then we're going to see that it causes doubts as well, because we're going to see that Amalek is related to that. But now I'm going to show you something amazing. Susan.
What does it mean that Amalek, the hand of Amalek is upon the throne of the Lord?
Trying to stop. It's really doing battle with God. So the Jewish people are the proxy for God. When Amalek does battle with us, it's really battling God. They're trying to keep, Amalek is trying to keep the establishment of God's kingdom in this world through the Jews. Amalek is trying to stop each one of us by keeping us from reaching our individual potential as well. And it's going to happen moment by moment.
Is Amalek a representation of the Yetzer Hara?
Yes. It says that the angel of Amalek, because Amalek is a descendant of Esau.
Right.
Okay, so it's the grandson of Esau, and he represents that force. In reality as well as in spiritually as well. So when Yaakov does battle with the angel of Esau, it's called, angels, Esau is called Satan, or Hasatan, and that is, Satan is the same thing as the impeder, the one who's trying to block your path by distracting you. No, you can't do it, don't do it. No, you don't want to do it, don't do it. And that's, it's like smoke and mirrors. And it's disguised by our feelings using our voice, which is the part that we start to believe it, because it's using our voice. If it was using some, funky voice, we'd say, shut up, don't talk to me like about that. But it uses our voice, and so we're like, oh, now that's convincing. Okay, I'm doing what you say. So that's the problem. So here's what's really interesting and beautiful.
You said national?
Yes, so meaning the Jewish people.
Trying to stop the people nationally. Or you may say in Israel too that would apply?
The Jewish people around the world. So any force that is the force that is trying to destroy the Jewish people is called Amalek. Anything that tries to destroy us physically, primarily spiritually, trying to interfere with us getting there, where we're supposed to be. But we all have an individual battle. So just as a quick aside there, Yom Kippur was the only day where HaSatan has no ruler, which is probably why we were all able to fast and do what we didn't feel like doing easily. HaSatan he's off that day. God doesn't let him work that day. HaSatan, the gematria of HaSatan, the Satan is equal to 364. And one day, the 365th day, he has no power, and that's the day of Yom Kippur. So that's why I was like, because if I woke up today and said, I think I'll just fast for 25 hours, I can tell you I'm not even getting out of the house without having my breakfast, because I would be have a bad mood, and I have a headache and a stomachache and cranky. So I can't do it unless there's on Yom Kippur we can do it. Hashem has made it easy. So here's what I discovered that I thought was really interesting. So the word for second in Hebrew is rega. And if you go to Israel and someone goes like this to you, rega. It means wait. Wait a second. And we say that, wait a second. Rega. Okay, rega means second. So what I did is I played to see what I could discover. So if you turn on your back page of the handout, I took the word rega and thought, what is the gematria of the word rega? So you'll see it on the right-hand side is the Hebrew, resh gimel ayin. Rega has a gematria of 273. Resh equals 200, gimel equals 3, and ayin equals 70. Then I took our 5 seconds that Mel Robbins is speaking about. We have 5 seconds. So I multiplied that gematria by 5. So we have rega times 5. 273 times 5 equals 1,365. I plugged that number into my gematrulator, which is a true thing and makes it sound like a time machine, but it's part of my, I have a, it's called the Bar Ilan Library CD. I have a huge amount of Sfarim, of holy books and law, Talmud, the entire, everything on the Bar Ilan CD, which is just magical. But one of the tools it has is a gematrulator. What you do is you put in a number, and it will search all of Tanakh, all of the Bible, to look for any either phrase or complete verse that equals whatever number you put in. And sometimes there's something and sometimes there's not. Well, I put in my 1,000, bless you, I put in my 1,365, and wouldn't you know it, there's exactly one verse in the Torah that equals 1,365. And guess what verse it is? The first one on your page with about Amalek.
The second one?
The first one. He said, for the hand is upon the throne of the Lord will be at war with Amalek throughout the ages. The gematria of that verse is 1,365. I'm like, I was like ready to jump out of my skin. I'm like, honestly, if there was any verse, I probably would have figured out some way to make it seem like it fit. I would have tried, unless it was something like completely random that absolutely did not fit. But Amalek is the concept primarily that is about having us do something tomorrow and infusing us with doubts and chilling us out. I'm like, amazing. Susan.
Is Mel Robbins Jewish, or is there anything Jewish in that book?
No, there's nothing Jewish in this book. I'm actually going to send her this and tell her, because I would like to do something with this before our Jewish people to say, she would have known, I mean, this, I was so excited, I mean, I just discovered this. So amazing. So here's some other little hints that tie us to Amalek. First of all, I wanted to point out one other thing just in the Hebrew on the back page now. Sorry, we're flipping around. The first, the top word on the right is rega, which means second. And then there's the word right beneath it, which is regesh, which means feeling. Okay, like you would say in Hebrew, ani margisha. So the root of margisha is regesh, resh, gimel, shin. Isn't that interesting that rega and regesh have 2 out of 3 of the same letters, and even the difference between an ayin and a shin by how they look, it's like the ayin, you know, knock off a stick of the shin and you kind of end up with an ayin. I don't know exactly what to do with that, but I just wanted to share that with you because I found that interesting. So here's another thing about Amalek. A very strange thing happens. Now flip again to the first page. When the Jewish people have the battle against Amalek, when they leave Egypt, Moshe says something very strange. So that's text number 3. Moshe says to Joshua, pick some men for us and go out and do battle with Amalek. Then it says, tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moshe's saying, tomorrow I'll do that. Now, I'm not a military strategist, but if you're having battle now, and you're sending Joshua out, when might you think you would want to go to the mountain with your rod?
Yesterday.
ASAP, not tomorrow. So this I already learned a few years ago that said, this is so weird, everyone jumps on this. What does he mean, tomorrow? He says, tomorrow is because that is the battle against Amalek, is the battle against the mañana idea. I'll do it tomorrow. So it says, that is the machar, is tomorrow. Now machar, if you read machar backwards, resh chet mem, it spells rechem, which is womb. It is also, the gematria of machar is 248, which is how many positive mitzvot there are, and it's also the gematria of B'Tselem Elohim in the image of God. It's like, you want to have the, you have a choice. You have an opportunity to self-actualize and become the image of God in this world through the power of the 248 positive mitzvot, which have been given to us as a gift and a path to do this, or you can turn the whole thing around and say, machar. When's that going to happen? I'll work on it tomorrow. So my very sweet, lovely little granddaughter, who's 2.5, was here this summer, and my daughter-in-law had told me that she was kind of in the toilet training, getting ready, thinking about it, kind of scared of, like, toilets are kind of scary, especially if you're 2.5. She says, you know, maybe you can borrow, like, a little potty chair or something. So I did, just kind of have her think about it. So I said, oh, Shiffy, I said, I got a potty chair for you. Would you like to try it? She goes, tomorrow. I said, great. And every day, guess what the answer was?
Tomorrow.
Omi, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I said, that's amazing. And then we were kind of laughing, like, that's so funny. I'm like, who am I laughing at? Do I not say this every single day, that tomorrow I'm going to do something? Says, that's the battle. The battle is against tomorrow. That is Amalek, is the tomorrow. And the karcha, he happened upon you, he chilled you out, like, dampen your enthusiasm. You know, don't be so excited about this. Says, we need to have that. And then there's another connection as well. Go again, I'm sorry, to the back page. Amalek has a gematria, numerical value of 240. You can kind of see it there right in the middle. Amalek is equal to 240. It's the same gematria as the word safek. The word safek means doubt. Okay, it says Amalek is the one that puts safek into your mind, doubts. And then the same letters of safek can also be rearranged to spell the word pasak, which means to stop. Because what do doubts do to us? They stop us. So the whole Amalek thing is, tomorrow I'm doing it, just don't be so, yeah, dampen your enthusiasm. Raise up your doubts as long as you don't do it. It says, the Yetzer Hara for good people. You know, the Yetzer Hara, you know, we're not going out and doing anything horrible. I mean, we talked about that there are things that we do, we're all making mistakes. But the best strategy of the Yetzer Hara is to prevent us from doing the right thing. If the Yetzer Hara can do that and act as a stumbling block and an obstacle and a barrier and a doubt and all these other things, it will have won the day. It's like, fine, as long as I get her not to do what she should do that would bring her to the next step of her self-actualization. We've talked before that God has a refrigerator with your picture on it. And the picture on it is the picture of us completely self-actualized that will be shown when we pass into the next world. And he'll say, this is who you were supposed to be. And we're not necessarily talking about, or we could be talking about, our careers or things like that, but we're talking about the people we were supposed to become. He goes, this is who you are. This is the picture that parents usually have in mind of their screaming children. You know, it's like, why do we take care of these children other than the fact that we're legally obligated to? It's because we see their potential and we know that they can turn into something else and that they're not going to be staying up all night for the rest of their life. They're not going to be spitting up on us for the rest of their life. We can see past the whatever to see what their potential is. And that's why we hang in there, which is why sometimes it's really hard. It's like, I'm not seeing it. So Hashem is saying to us, I see you clearly and I'm going to give you many moments throughout the day to take the next little step. But because you have to have free choice, God, we could say, well, why do you have to make it so darn hard for us? Why don't you just give us the opportunities and, like, we'll do it? It says, because we are created in the image of God. And what does that mean? It means that we are creators, which means we have to be able to create ourselves. In order to create ourselves, that means that we have to be able to affirmatively do something that is an act of creation of ourselves. It's not something that can be just an automatic unfolding. There's a lot of automatic things that go on. I mean, I was amazed, you know, it was wonderful. When I was pregnant, you know, you get your like little reports of where the baby was at each stage. What did I do? I didn't do anything. All I did was not drink alcohol and not drink caffeine. That was and take my prenatal vitamins. Other than that, I was not doing anything to create a heart, a lungs, a brain. I didn't do anything. So a lot of things in us are on autopilot, and they have already been programmed, and it's already going to unfold, and we don't have to take responsibility for it. God leaves us a little corner of ourselves and says, let us make man. That means you and me together. Let us make you, and you need to do your part, and you're doing your part is overcoming the Yetzer Hara to do the things that you need to do to take you to yourself to the next level. And it may not present itself as something amazingly huge. It's going to be the next phone call. It's going to be the next conversation. It's going to be the next letter. It's going to be raise your hand at a meeting. It's going to be something that helps us. We see that many great people stop themselves. Who's our best example? Moshe. Look how much time he spent saying why he should not be the leader of the Jewish people. God finally gets angry with him and says, you are the one. But if it was left to Moshe, you'd think if the creator of the universe was talking to you, would just kind of go with that. You know, if he said, you need to do this, I'd be like, okay, I'm doing it. No, 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 they won't listen to me. No, 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 I can't really talk. No, 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 what about my brother? No, 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 the burning bush, at the burning bush when God is... But Moshe's not the only one like that. We all do that. And where are we most likely to resist is in the very area that we're supposed to be moving forward. I went to see the play Beautiful, the story of Carole King. So, unbeknownst to me, she didn't think she was a good singer. Okay, she was a songwriter before she was a singer. She did not think she could sing until her friends, who basically pushed her on stage literally in an evening, pushed her, told the person, she's gonna sing right now. And they just pushed her on and then she started singing. And everyone's like, of course you're a singer. So you think like, she didn't know she was a singer? How could she not know that? That's obvious and clear. No, she didn't know. So sometimes it takes somebody else outside to push us in the direction that we need to go, or at least for us not to listen to the voices of our own doubt or the doubts of other people. I've mentioned before, I think he's a rabbi, he's a moel, he's a worldwide speaker. His name is Rabbi Pesach Kron. He's a great, I don't know if any of you are familiar with him, but he's very well known in the Jewish world. When he was 15 in high school, teacher told him he would never be a writer. Well, it's really interesting because he just published his 15th book. So when he published the first one, he actually contacted his high school teacher and went to him and said, you told me that I would never be a writer. And it says, don't listen to it. You can have somebody who's an English teacher. It wasn't like he was like the janitor and said he couldn't. It was like somebody who should know. It's like, don't listen. Do not listen. Because then we have our own self-doubts. Our self-doubts play off of and in conjunction with other things that other people have told us. You're not this. You'll never do that. It's like, don't listen to any of it. Don't listen. So what is the trick? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You have 5 seconds to block all that out and mobilize ourselves for this battle. This battle is this rega. You have 1,365. You have this verse. This is an ongoing battle. If we reach that countdown and we don't do something, Amalek has just won that battle. Not the war, but that battle. But wars are won battle by battle, moment by moment. To seize the moment and realize that we have a legitimate challenge. And it's not that there's something wrong with us. We're human beings. If that wasn't so, you wouldn't have 8 million people who have found this and have found this to be helpful. So hopefully seeing like the Jewish connection to it as well and the underpinnings of it through Torah and our writings and the Torah text itself through the magical gift of Hebrew, which is pointing us just right in that direction to confirm, you have 5 seconds. So make those seconds count. Use it. It's ridiculous. But as Nike said, just do it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. Hopefully we'll find ourselves in a wonderful new place next year. And
we'll have to report to you next time.
Report to yourself. It was like, how did it go? It was like, oh, this is ridiculous. So in just 2 minutes, I'll just share you something funny that when I didn't use it.